Well, hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of, Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. You know, it's weekly, it's geeky, it's geekly. As always, it's me, your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by excellent co-hosts. Would you like to tell the people who it is that you are?
I'm Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Prayer on Tumblr, and Hella Steph on Instagram. And we have another guy. You want to tell him who you are, other guy?
Yeah, I'm still Eric. I'm still here. They haven't kicked me off yet. I'm still their favorite guest, guest of the podcast. And
long-running guest appearance.
Yeah. It's me. And it's we're here live, coming to you over the internet.
We are live over the internet. It's true. It's how we're doing this. And you're either listening to us live or on a podcast catch of your choice. So either way, we appreciate that. But before we get into, you know, everything that we do, I gotta ask, how are y'all two doing today?
You know, another week of quarantine.
We made it through.
Yeah. Haven't had a lot to say about this week. You know, there's all sorts of discourse going on the internet about things like a music video. And that's my knowledge of this week.
That's good. Steph, what have you been up to?
Oh, I've just been, you know, reading books, being a rabble-rouser. Yesterday I drank some White Claws outside, which was exciting. Saw some people in person for the first time.
Oh, boy.
Now, is drinking outside legal where you are?
You know, questionable.
Okay.
I don't actually know, but I think no one's enforcing it right now because of quarantine reasons.
Sure.
Like, if you're going to drink a beer in the park and not make an ass of yourself, like, no one's going to be like, excuse me, the open container laws of Prospect Park, say. But also, we were three white girls sitting on beach towels, so.
You know,
you would have been the last target.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you didn't have your big leftist sign.
Well, even in Brooklyn, I feel like that would still be pretty safe.
Yeah. Pretty big, yeah.
Hopefully, you know, it's good when people are safe.
The only people who approached us while we were there were the guy selling Italian ice out of his cart and some guys who offered us plastic bags to take our trash out of the park with because the garbage cans are apparently at capacity because everyone is coming to Prospect Park to socialize.
I mean, that sounds like a fun nice service.
Yeah,
it was nice. They were cool. They were like, and we know you're cool already because you're drinking White Claws. And I was like, inside my head, I was like, everyone drinks White Claws now, my guy. But also, like, you know, the solidarity of the claw.
They were trying to flirt.
I mean, ain't no law, right?
They were trying to flirt with
a plastic bag.
A plastic bag. And with the three, like, queerest women in Brooklyn.
Queer
two
style,
very
let's
committed
rock and roll.
Lesbians and myself. Like,
my only question is, did you buy shaved ice?
Hell yeah, I bought shaved ice. Good. I had brought whatchamacallit cash with me anyway, just because I was worried. Like, I was going to stop and get, like, a breakfast sandwich on the way there. And I wasn't sure if I was going to stop in, like, a bodega or, like, a Dunkin' or something where they would take card for a $6 transaction. So I brought cash with me anyway. And then the ice guy came by and I was like, well, shit.
Iceman cometh.
The ice guy is a nice guy.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I had a relaxing weekend as well, just playing games. Same old every weekend. Working on the podcast that you're listening to. Working with people, writing ideas. Played a little bit of D&D yesterday.
Right, we did do that.
Yeah, Eric was our great DM. We could tell the listeners about it, but we don't want to spoil what happened for Steph because it's a two-part campaign and she will be participating on Tuesday, so we'll keep those secrets to herself.
Steph is part two. Pro tip to all fledgling DMs out there. They always tell you not to split the party. Sometimes, fuck that rule. Sometimes you need to do it.
The fucking party.
Yeah, because sometimes you're like, man, there is no way that I'm going to accomplish what I want to accomplish in this storyline when I have to deal with five different people.
Yeah, it would be a lot. I think you did a good job at that. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the stories you keep giving us to work through.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm a writer. I'm a writer boy.
Writer boys. It's a boy write party. Yeah, let's write. Time to write. I'm so tired. Let's talk about some nerdy stuff. How's that sound? Pop
culture-y things?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that. We could start with the first thing on my list. It shouldn't take too long. Overwatch Summer Games started. That's cool. I like Overwatch.
Wow, that was this week.
Wow, yeah. I thought that was last
Holy
week.
Holy shit, I thought that was 100 years ago.
No, it was Tuesday.
No, this is Patrick.
For you, it was the most important day of your life. For me, it was Tuesday.
Yes. So, of course, we got lots of new skins. That's mostly it. Skins, poses, emotes, and stuff like that. Some nice skins. I guess they figured they needed to give something nice to Brigitte because people aren't a fan of the Riot gear, so now she's a Fisher person. Cool. Baptiste looks like Tom Nook or dad, because he has like the little Hawaiian shirt with like the white khaki shorts. You know,
for Penny, say Tom Nook or a dad.
Well, Tom Nook is a dad,
the most dad. So you know, Farrah got the lifeguard skin, which is more representation for our sapphic friends. So props to y'all. Yeah, and that's not. It's not my opinion. That's just what my timeline has told me. Cool.
Hey, she does look hot in it. Not gonna argue with that.
They're like, yo, we got to get the abs out. Ironically, Doomfist had his abs covered up. He's wearing a karate gi. That's cool.
I will say, in regards to Farrah, however you say her name, that like for some reason the lifeguard skin specifically made me realize she got some broad ass shoulders. Like,
yeah.
Her stance is powerful.
It has to be. She has jetpack wings.
Yeah, it's just like
carry on those broad shoulders.
Yeah, she's just got a very powerful stance.
It's nice though, right? It's nice to see like Blizzard not just have tiny little super skinny women.
Yeah, you know, I'm currently playing a game in which the main female villain, I guess, is just some big titty elf. Dead lady waifu, and
was a string of words.
Yeah, look, I you know, it's Blizzard being Blizzard is what it is.
Yeah, that's true. Good old Blizz. But yeah, I mean they're good at making the art that they make. I'll give them that. Like, it's well done. Just some of it's the idea might not have been well done. But yeah, it's a cool event. They had a new Lucio Ball mode called Lucio Ball Remix, so you can make yourself get back. If you jump real high, you can get to the ground faster. They made the control a little better. Now there's like a two-ball mode, so like there's more chaos going on, which is great, because now the game doesn't stop every time someone scores a goal, which just made these games like last forever, and it was horrible. But now it's all right, so that's that.
So I have a question about the summer games, because I know the first time they did them kind of in accordance with the Summer Olympics of the time.
Yes.
Do you think that, like, this whole thing had to change a bit because there are no Olympics going on, even though they expected there to be?
No, because they do them every year.
Okay.
So it's just, like, their summer event, yeah.
I was going to say, do you think there might have been different, like, theming to it, though, if the Olympics were actually happening?
That's giving a lot of credit to Blizzard. And I don't think they would have canned anything. Like, had the Olympics still been, I don't think they would have changed what they were going to do. Like, Tracer, the first Summer Games, got a sprinter skin. This year, she just got, like, the Epic level recolors. So, it's, like, a recolor, but more than just color swaps. That has, like, the Union Jack on it, which is kind of in accordance with what, like, McCree got in the first games. Like, a flag in here.
The flag cape.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is, like, I still have that, like, American badass Jesse McCree with the flags for Ape, but so maybe this is just what they had planned on having for the summer games anyway, and no Olympics is like, well, we'll still give Tracer that because everybody gets like an athletic spray and you know there's flags for different icons, so
right. I was just curious.
Yeah, I don't think they, you know, like, made any kind of pivot.
Yeah, because that I know, like, you know, if you think like Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games in Tokyo, like that game still came out. But
well, that game came out before the pandemic hit, right?
I think it was maybe, I don't remember the actual release date of it, to be completely honest.
I think it did. I think it was like January, February. So they're like, well, Olympics might still happen. It's like maybe for you guys in the Mushroom Kingdom, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, they always have like a summery theme to them, like scuba, like how Pharah's a lifeguard, Bastion's a sandcastle in this one, Torb has his little swimsuit one, so it's not necessarily Olympic themed, it's just the first one was, and, you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's fun.
Nice.
What else? I don't think anything else with Overwatch. I mean, they had their Countdown Cup this weekend in the league, which was, they've changed like a tournament format while they're playing online, just in between, like, instead of having stages, they have little tournaments. And it just finished today with San Francisco winning again. They're like a really good team, and it makes me sad because they beat Philly, but Philly is the only team that like took two maps off them and went 2-4, which actually was pretty good. It's people make mistakes. It's hard to beat the best team consistently, so I'll give them that. Speaking of teams getting eliminated and the fans being salty, hockey came back recently, and the Pens have been eliminated, so a lot of people I know are very upset. I'm like, yeah. People are like, oh, it was nice to have hockey back for a week. I'm like, if you missed hockey, the sport, you can still watch it.
I was going to say, hockey is still happening.
Good news for you.
Some people said, and their friend said, well, what if you like only like the Pens? I'm like, well, then yeah, you are out of luck. But yeah. To the other friend.
But also, I guess you didn't really like hockey then, did you?
Like,
yeah.
You just liked the team.
Yeah, which is also fine. You can watch sports however you want to, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, there's a correct method for viewing sports. You can min-max your sports watching.
You can. You need the like the HBO Game Pass or whoever owns it, where you can have like 10 different screens of
Disney ESPN now. So.
Oh jeez, what a weird.
Should a quick before we go too far away from Blizzard, we should touch on their their workers delivered like a like ultimatum. Basically, they were like, shit needs to get better.
Yeah, they did like a lot of salary sharing and stuff.
Yeah, they kind of like in secret like passed around a spreadsheet and recorded like a majority of employee salaries. Turns out people don't get paid very well to work there, which is unsurprising for what is considered like a legacy game company.
Yeah,
because a lot of people will just be excited to be offered a job with them, and mm-hmm. you know, will think like, oh, well, if this is what they're offering, all game companies must be doing this.
Yeah. Right?
So.
Which is terrible.
Oh, yeah. It's a very bad. It's a very bad look for Blizzard, too.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, their CEO, Bobby Kotick, makes more money every single year. Like, and they post record, like, profits. It's like, well, is that profit because you don't pay people right?
Which is, yes. Yeah, partially. In fact, it is.
Which is.
I'm laughing about it only because what else can you do?
Yeah,
yeah. It's for what it's worth, these whatchamacallit, this spreadsheets, like salary sharing spreadsheets, have in several other industries led to like mass unionization efforts. So it's a good start.
Yeah,
that and, should be good. Know,
I hope they manage to do that. I think that as I have been more awoken to the benefits of unions, I think that more of them should be formed in industries that previously did not have them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And maybe, and this is good for if you're the kind of person who only cares about how can this help you as a consumer, if people are getting paid better and more comfortable and less stressed, then they will probably crank out a better product overall.
Yep.
So this can only help everybody else out, so.
Heck
and
yeah.
Obviously, it should just be enough that people are getting a livable wage or whatever they deserve if it's more than a livable wage. So,
yeah, going back to like what I think we talked kind of briefly about, I think when we were talking about Kanye a couple weeks ago, but like,
which he is still in the discourse this week.
Yeah, but like people are like, oh, well, like you struggle, like struggling to make art like is like so meaningful. It's like, no, you actually do make better art when you're in a mentally healthy, supportive, like, situation. Like,
yeah, who would have thought?
Yeah.
And when your workers are happier, they do better work.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Hey, we have
one little aside about Kanye. He's currently being kicked off of ballots for forged signatures. So
I'm not going to blame him for that. I know it's like whoever's helping him out.
Oh, which the fun fact about that part is that the people who are helping him out are lawyers from the Trump campaign.
Oh,
weird.
Yeah. It's very much they're trying to spoil Biden votes, but that's it's a racist idea to think that black people will vote for Kanye just because he's black, especially when black voters tend to be pretty conservative. Not necessarily in the party sense, but in the like, hey, let's pick the safe bet. Like, not necessarily the best bet, but like the safest bet that won't screw us over.
Which is completely unsurprising that the Trump campaign would think that's how that works.
Oh, because... yeah. Because they're racist.
Yeah.
And we have somebody in the chat saying hi. Hello, hello. To Alice. Appreciate you jumping in. What's our next topic? Do we want to stay on games, or do we just want to go in the order on the list?
In the list order? Let's stay on games. Let's jump around.
Let's stay on games. Speaking of Activision Blizzard and other like big companies that have like overseas deals, like they're apparently this TikTok deal with like shutting it down or banning it from America is kind of going through or is going through, and although it's not confirmed or necessarily happening, people were worried that it would affect Tencent, which owns all of Riot Games, a share of Epic Games, has stock in Discord, works with Activision Blizzard, just all kinds of stuff like that. Although it's seeming like...
got their fingers in a lot of pies, their irons are in a lot of fires.
Yeah, so it seems like it really is when they said the companies that own WeChat and TikTok, that hit Tencent, but that their goal was really just to get TikTok and WeChat. So that's... although these are apps that maybe people probably shouldn't use, I don't necessarily like seeing an authoritarian way of handling them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think you and I like kind of had a small discussion regarding it where it's tough because yes, you don't want the government regulating something like that, but at the same time for data security within, you know, your own country, you also want to regulate it because like, but then again, like right to privacy, like doesn't really exist anymore. I it's very complicated.
Yeah. It is.
I just know that gamers panicked because they thought that the like regulation of Tencent would impact companies like Riot and Blizzard and stuff like that. But then turned out they clarified it like a day later, like, oh no. Like those are totally okay.
Yeah. Which is, The shitty take to hear from a lot of people are like, finally, the evil Fortnite has been taken down. It's like, that's a bad take, man. Because A, it's like, Fortnite bad is not a good take because, like, you hate this game because it's popular. Like, Fortnite's not necessarily a bad game. I don't play it, but I get why people like it. It's fine. They don't need to, like, shit on people's good time. But we can shit on Epic's bad business practices all day long. I'll jump on that. I'll say Fortnite as a product is a piece of shit, as a game, whatever. But there's a lot of people who that's their job and they work on programming this game. So saying they're like, oh, they're going to lose a big part of the revenue stream, like that only hurts games, you know? Like, there's a lot of indie devs who have been able to, there's a lot of indie devs who have been able just to get paid because Epic's like, hey, we'll swing our Fortnite money around. We'll give you an exclusivity deal of like $100,000 if you put your game on Epic first. And they're like, I wasn't sure I was going to make that many sales. So yeah, I'll take that deal. I can keep making games now. And yeah, maybe Zoomers like to do TikTok dances or like that are from Fortnite, that are from Scrubs. But like, that's annoying. I'm 30. I'm hitting my boomer years. It's annoying, but it doesn't hurt anybody. I said on Twitter today, like, we need to learn how to say that makes me uncomfortable, but that's a me problem, you know?
Oh, it's that's the realist. That is so deeply true.
Yeah.
There's a difference between something being inherently offensive and you taking offense to something. Like, yeah. is the idea.
Like the whole, like, kind of, like, anti-culture around, like, fanfic and stuff, like, where you need to find, like, a reason for the ship you don't like to be immoral.
It's like, no, you can just not like
saying,
it.
Like, saying, like, oh, I like Steve Tony instead of Steve Bucky, as opposed to, like, people who like Steve Tony, like, co-sign abuse, like, abusive relationships. It's like...
I don't think that's true.
That's not what I said, but...
Yeah, and it's, you know, I come from... You all know me. I don't like cheese, I'm lactose intolerant. I had a bad experience with it when I was younger, so I don't eat cheese. And it annoys me that America has an obsession with cheese, and I always have to ask for there to not be cheese on things. Like, that bothers me a lot. I'm not offended by that. I'm not mad at other people for liking cheese. That's a me thing. And that's, you know, we're beating the dead horse. Y'all get it. You're savvy listeners.
My favorite cheese story with Dom is telling a host at an Airbnb that he's lactose intolerant and to not put cheese in a casserole, and then they make it and they're like, ah yes, there's milk in there.
Which I was like, I'm still willing to eat that.
Yeah.
Because I just don't like cheese.
I very much appreciated the effort.
But then it's like swing and a miss.
Yeah.
We got another viewer saying hello. It's Rex7. Thanks for popping in. Appreciate it. Viewer says, very nice, very nice. So yeah, we so you know, I don't want like Epic and Riot to like get taken out because of xenophobia, but if it's just straight up bad business practices, it's like, you know, maybe we can look at that, but you know, there's slippery slopes and there's different things like that. We can just try to keep our eye out.
I think the bigger issue with the whole deal with TikTok and WeChat is that this decision or like executive order or whatever, like whatever he wants to call it, is coming down right after Facebook is announcing that they are putting out what's essentially TikTok, but with Instagram.
Oh, yes. Called, that has come out.
Yeah. Called Reels or whatever. And it's like, hey, like, that looks really suspicious. Like,
what weird, Potbelly, the sandwich shop brand, was like calling out, the TikTok brand retweeted the Instagram Reels announcement and was like, huh, this looks pretty pretty familiar. And
like,
the
Potbelly sandwich brand,
yeah, literally retweeted that and was like, you copied Vine. I was like, who is running this, like, this sandwich Twitter that was like, this is my time to step in and get us the...
I mean, that's how we all
need to build the Potbelly's brand.
That's what I thought, though. I was like, wait, you guys are really going to call out Instagram for stealing an idea that you stole? Like,
yeah.
Granted, you did much more successfully somehow, which I'm not sure, but, like, it's not, like, an original idea. I don't like Instagram Reels, like, its integration. It's just, like, at the top of your, like, explore page, but I don't feel like I can explore the Reels.
Weird, yeah.
So I'm like,
it's
wait,
it's owned by Facebook, so by default, I don't think it should be liked.
Well, Instagram as a platform.
Also owned by Facebook, so by default, it's got a bad like UI.
Yeah. I mean, Instagram's kind of all right. Like, if it would just fix its timeline thing, like, so things were in chronological order, I'd be like, it's a fine app. It's fine. It doesn't need improvement. And they're like, well, what if we add this other feature? I'm like, okay, cool. Is that going to be another tab? Like, no, it's going to be on the same tab. I'm like, so is it going to be a mix of posts and Reels? Like, nope, just one Reel at the top. I'm like, so this isn't really integrated into your app. Like, do I need to download a second? Like, how do I use this? I don't know. They tried to copy something and didn't even, like, copy it all the way.
Yeah.
Anyhow. But yeah.
Delete your Facebook.
Delete Facebook. Follow us on Facebook if you don't, though.
If you keep your Facebook, make sure to follow us.
Exactly.
You should take my advice and delete your Facebook.
The last little bit of video game news until we remember something at the end of the show is there's a new show on Twitch called Ven. It's a channel, which is kind of like a new G4. They do gaming news about...
TBT to G4.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, which apparently
owned by
Comcast.
Is...
Oh, well.
Fun fact.
There's that. But yeah, it is basically... is 24/7, and they're adding more and more shows. Just a video game channel where they have, it's a lot of other pop culture too, like movies and shows and like fitness and stuff, but mostly like around video games and nerd stuff.
The only thing is they'll never be able to truly emulate G4 because they won't have 6-hour blocks of cheaters or cops. So
I mean, you know what, let's hope. But apparently G4 is teasing a comeback or something. I don't know. But I watched a few hours of Ven. It's pretty all right. There's a few different shows. They have a show where a guest comes on and like just streams with somebody or plays games. They have like a news show. Sasha Grey has a show. She has made a very interesting career transition over the last 15 years. She was an adult film star that started directing movies and now is on a gaming channel. It's like, hey, be the Renaissance person you want to be. No need to.
Don't we have a friend who, like, a friend of a isn't she a friend of a friend?
Maybe. I know a friend who knows some adult actresses, but I don't know if it's the same person.
I think one of the people we used to write for the Lady Geek Girl blog with is, like, in, like, a guild with her or something.
It's possible. I mean, there's...
Everything's possible.
From the rule book I have, there's two things that I know. It's that there's nothing in the rule book that says dogs can't play basketball, and there's nothing in the rule book that says sex workers can't, like, be video gamers or D&Ders. So
it says the dogs can't be video gamers or D&Ders.
Well, that's not in the book because it's true. They don't have thumbs.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's not about having the thumbs, it's that your species at one point could have thumbs, you know? So if you lose your thumbs, you could still play D&D. But if you're a dog, you can't. It's a weird technicality. I don't know.
Dogs do have thumbs.
What? That bean on the back?
Yeah, they have vestigial thumbs. Like, they're not, like, opposable.
Okay, well, they can play D&D then. It's right there. Cool. You answered your own question.
Cool.
That's all I needed to hear.
What a stupid joke. I'm sorry I went down that path. Anyway. But yeah, Ven seems pretty cool. Some nice art. That seemingly pretty diverse group of people working on different shows, so that's good news. Games are diverse. More shows. There's lots of show news. These transitions are pretty almost acceptable. So Animaniacs is apparently getting a reboot coming out soon.
That's always Ren and Stimpy.
Well, that's not so great. The creator from Ren and Stimpy sucks as a person. I forget all what he did.
A lot of sexual abuse.
Well, that's just awful.
Yeah.
See, I said that in my sarcastic voice because I was going to be sarcastic, but I just said a truth. That is awful. That's straight up, that's awful. But do people really like Ren and Stimpy that much? That there's, like, money in bringing it back?
You know what? I was going to say, I really hate Ren and Stimpy, so I am not the right person to ask. I think it's a very dumb show.
It's dumb and gross, and it's, like, just not.
It's, like,
into it.
I kind of liked Ren as a character. But that's not, like, enough to carry me to watch that gross-ass show. I just like the idea of, like, a smaller, like, annoyed guy and, like, his chubby friend. Like, I like the dynamic, but I didn't like the show or anything really else about it.
The show Ren and Stimpy.
I have good news for you about a podcast called The Magnus Archive, yes. Which is about a smaller, annoyed guy and his chubby friend.
I was going to say, Ren and Stimpy is, like, the cartoon personification of the song title Wet Ass Pussy.
So, like, no, that's not true, because that has stuff that's good within it once you get past the initial surface, whereas Ren and Stimpy, like, is the opposite.
Yeah,
it's bad, it's good on the surface, then it gets worse the, like, more you learn about it. However, that said, it had great voice acting, because Billy West is a badass, and, like, a lot of animators that worked on good properties got their start there, so it's like, good we had that, shouldn't have gave the power to the creator, and we never need to see it again, but, like, good job for all the people that, like, we got out of that. I don't know. Rocko's Modern Life seemed like it handled, like, the balance between gross and, like, fun still.
Like, yeah, better than Ren and Stimpy did, at least.
Yeah, because I guess when it wasn't gross, Rocko still had, like, good art. Like, looking at, like, the character Rocko, it's like, oh, that's an appealing design. Like, I can see why kids would like this little wallaby character. He has a nice little shirt, you know, fun snout, and his little tail. But, like, looking at Ren and Stimpy, you're like, I don't want to look at this. This is gross.
Animaniacs on the other hand
yeah, very into that,
lots of good stuff.
Yeah, interesting too that news came out a week after we had the conversation that WB, like, what was it, going to Netflix? WB show,
just Moesha.
How that wasn't that was just Moesha,
and I was like, darn, I wish it was Animaniacs. I made it reality.
You still gotta be sad because Animaniacs is coming to Hulu, but it's still coming out, so
we have Hulu too.
Hell yeah, Hulu's pretty all right. It has Parasite,
the movie. Yeah, to leech it off of.
I'm curious if it's like what the like take there of the reboot will be, since
Yeah, this show is like a little edgy. Like, not edgy, like not Shadow the Hedgehog edgy, but like, you know, they made a fingerprints
like
joke.
Spicy.
Yeah, there was definitely some like adult humor. Like, it was kind of almost the SpongeBob of the time.
The first few seasons of SpongeBob, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not the later SpongeBob.
Not the bad SpongeBobs.
No.
Speaking of good SpongeBob, though, have you guys seen that SpongeBob anime on YouTube?
Yeah, you sent it
to
us. I
still watched it.
I don't know if you... So you remember those intros that one guy made, like the OPs?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just that, but as like a 20-minute episode with like legitimate like Japanese voice acting. Like it's weird. Like they, like, I'm pretty sure this person is like an English speaker, like natively English speaker. So like had to like commission Japanese voice actors to like do this. I'm like, wait, so as somebody who natively speaks English, you made something that's going to need dubbed into English? It's like, yes. But I mean, the voice acting is like appropriately cheesy. The music's really good. The fight choreography is pretty fun. Like, I really suggest you all you go out and watch it. It's interesting. It's you know, if Kill la Kill saved anime back in the day, SpongeBob was keeping it alive. That's absurd. But yeah, Amazing. Studio Trigger, good company. They didn't make the SpongeBob anime, though. It was some people on YouTube. Did a good job. And yeah, that's... Oh man, it's perfect. It's like this other thing. So it has been Hotel. I don't know if either of you have seen the pilot, but it got picked up by A24 to be a full TV show.
So yeah. I know people who really like it. I've never watched it.
Yeah.
But it's... A24 has been, like, I guess, like, kind of doing some cool stuff lately. Or at least, like, being, like, kind of spicy about stuff online.
Yeah, I think A24 is good at, like, giving money to, like, lots of different kinds of things. So, like, you're never sure what the quality of the content's going to be. But it's lots more people getting an opportunity. So that's worth it in and of itself.
Yeah, like, the one thing that I saw, they, like, called out, like, the day before everything on the TL was about Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. I can't say it either.
I know, I'm sorry, I couldn't say it without laughing.
So Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion have a song out. You can search it for as WAP, but that stands for Wet Ass Pussy. There's no hyphens there. I feel like there could be a hyphen, but we don't need to get into that. It's ableist to talk about grammar. But sometimes you want to know, is it a wet ass and pussy, or is it a wet ass pussy? Like, you know, I don't
not.
Or is it a wet ass pussy?
Don't,
you know, like
really
pussy, like, you know,
like,
what do we got here?
Really hard on how, like, Eric and I are just like very moist squick. Bye.
See, you should watch your phrasing as well.
There was a hyphen there too.
No, I meant you had paused because it just
squick
sounded
moist.
What? Anyway, they have a music video that's out that is making a lot of man babies upset, and
because they talk,
I guess,
about
prudish
that
women
like
too,
sex.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, they talk about it, and it's a vulgar song. I guess vulgar's not the word. They cuss, and it's an explicit song, but it's like, yeah, it's just a song. I don't know. It's fucking. It's all right. I don't know. If you want to hear the song, search the song, like a lyric video. If you want to watch the video, watch it, because that's the radio edit for the video, and it's that's actually
it's
disgusting.
Arguably worse.
That's actually disgusting.
Probably worse.
You two can cover your ears, but nobody wants to hear the word gushy. That's not fun.
I can't.
Oh yeah, they're already covered. My bad. Also, Kylie Jenner's in the video for some reason that nobody seems
to
know.
I could not put. I could not put a finger on why.
And she doesn't do anything. It looks like she's about to rap or sing, and then she just goes through a door.
Leaves.
This obviously was something that Cardi or Megan had as an idea. Like, you know, there's the videos of like Cardi working with the choreography and like the planning of it. So, hey, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. And I don't think they have the problem with those kids as maybe some of us do. Although this was before, like, the incident that happened to Megan, where she was shot, so maybe there were some people suspecting there might be some bad blood. It's not my place to speculate. I don't know. Women making art. Let them go. But again, this is an opportunity. Maybe this makes you uncomfortable to watch this video. Maybe like all this is like, this is really sexual and I don't know why it bothers me. It's all right to say, hey, that makes me uncomfortable and that's a me thing. They're not destroying society. I just feel weird about it. And you didn't accidentally listen to the song just because you're running for house or something. Like, come on.
Yeah, like, be real.
Accidentally on purpose.
It's like Cell Block Tango. I accidentally watched that music video. I accidentally watched it 8 times. Oh, gross.
Yeah, yuck. Yeah, but the whatchamacall I was gonna say.
Oh yes, Has Been Hotel is what we were mentioning.
We're talking about Has Been Hotel. The only thing that I've seen from A24 otherwise this week is that there's some movie coming out about that's based on like a Twitter thread, I guess, but the main character of it is a black woman and the movie is named after her. And they were like, so-and-so white actress to co-star in film about stripper called XXX or like whatever it is. And A24 Twitter was like posted a screen cap that they had like scribbled on kind of thing. Like it was like editing it to be like not racist.
Yeah.
And it got pulled up in the music video conversation as well because it was because people were talking about the music video as being like new music video with Kylie Jenner.
Yeah, like starring, like she stars in this video. It's like I don't know if she did. I mean, she was
stars Ace is doing a lot of work in that sentence.
She's like she was there less than the snakes were.
That's hey, Taylor Swift was in that music video too.
It took me a second. Oh, because she was a snake that one time on the internet. Have you heard her new album by chance?
I have not.
Is that true? I just know that it's given birth to a lot of discussion about the genre of cottagecore.
You know what? If people want to have that discussion, let them have it. It was like an airy pop album, and I've seen a lot more people listening to it that tend to not really be a fan of her, saying like, oh, it's pretty all right. So, hey, I listened to it. It was pretty all right. I'm not like her biggest fan or anything, but it's fine. I like music. That's cool. We should probably talk about Has Been Hotel, I guess.
Oh, yeah, we can jump it away from it.
Is it obvious how much like I'm disinterested in that property?
Yeah, me too.
And we could. I just don't know anything about it. Like I know that it's on YouTube. Is it just one? It was just a pilot that people were
very excited about. Yes,
it was just a pilot, and then it had a spin-off pilot too.
I have seen like there's so much shit that I've seen people like cosplay from that. Like when I found out like how minimal the source material was for it, and that people were like. Yes, I have come up with, like, this is my, like, headcanon cosplay of such and such, like, from this show that's a 10-minute, like, YouTube video. Like, that doesn't surprise me,
People really got into, like, Ghost and, like, Mystery Skulls. Like, it was really the one music video.
That's what it was. I was gonna say, like, I know people who are still talking about that on, like, that's still their main fandom on Tumblr, and it's like, man.
People who made up all sorts of backstory about all of that.
It was cool. I mean, look, of course I have a Sonic example, but like, people have cosplayed as this character Eggette or Omelette or whatever you want to call it, because she's not a real character. But like, I forget, on TV Tropes, this is audio called a mondegrass, but basically it's like when you mishear something, so you're like, oh yeah, the lyric is that da mondegrass. It's like, no, it's them on the grass. Like, oh shit. So there's a boss where in Sonic Mania where Eggman's in this spider and he's upside down, but the way his mustache looks, it looks like a little girl's hair, and his glasses make it look like it's angry. So people have drawn what they think this character would look like, and people have cosplayed this character who doesn't actually exist outside of the fandom. And like have like drawn comments with her and given her a personality, and they're like, some people are like, it's Eggman's niece, it's Eggman's daughter, it's the La Brava equivalent to Eggman. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, whatever. La Brava. It's like, yo, whatever. Like, eggs La Brava. It's like Eggs Benedict, but My Hero. So whatever floats people's boat, like, I won't be mad at people for that or anything. Love your thing. My only hot take about it, because I know a lot of people are excited that it's like an adult animation and it's not necessarily like gross and vulgar, and it's like an interesting art style. Basically, it's saying we don't want things to be ugly like Rick and Morty or everything that looks like Family Guy, because apparently like every adult show has to look kind of like Family Guy, and I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
It's kind of stiff and boring. You know, I know animation's hard, but it doesn't have to, like, the base models don't have to be so samey, I guess. But I find the animation in Has Been Hotel, like, hard to parse. Like, it's really busy to me, and maybe I'm just getting old, but I'm like, I can't really... Like, I haven't watched the animation, I still want to, because I want to give it a chance, maybe it's really cool. But, like, looking at screenshots from it and fan, I'm like, I can't, like, this is really busy. That's my hot take, which is not that hot, I guess. Again, maybe just not for me.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I'm glad that it's getting its existence for the people. Yeah, appreciated for the people who like it.
That's, I'm hyped totally that it's coming out.
Fine. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be cool. Maybe it'll be my new favorite thing in like a year and I won't be able to shut up about. That's totally possible. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. Like, it's totally feasible that could happen.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff in my life that I was like, ugh, that thing. For like the longest time at cons and stuff, and then I was like, oh wait, nope, mm-hmm. I like this.
Like, what? I'm stuck. Okay,
like
I'm stuck,
man, like, we're all home stuck now,
like,
not me. Oh yeah, well, okay, yes, sorry. good joke, I get it now.
I can leave anytime I want to, I just don't want to. No, Homestuck always, I never got super mad at that, because I don't know, maybe I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I'm like, oh, that seems like something that I would like. I mean, I don't really know if I like the fans, because they seem way younger than me, and I don't need to hang out with, like, kids, but, like, this property seems cool. And then I realized I was lazy.
My major problem with Homestuck was the fans in their cosplays not sealing their body paint, and then getting touched by them at conventions and being like, ah, I'm covered in gray paint now. Cool.
Yeah, that was like, that's what, where I started out was like, I am going to 4 conventions a year and they are filled with these 13-year-olds cosplaying this thing that I'm unfamiliar with. And because I don't like them, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. We call that the Rick and Morty syndrome.
And now I have so many Homestuck costumes under my bed, some of which I've never even worn to a convention. Why do I still have them? I don't know. They spark joy.
Hey, we might be able to go back outside and you can wear them again. Or for the first time.
I'm guilty of you. Like, I used to think that, like, Vocaloid and, like, more specifically, like, Miku herself was, like, a dumb thing. Like, I thought it was. I know,
what?
Right? It's practically like blasphemy coming from my mouth at this point, but I was like super like prejudiced against like that style of music and like aesthetic for a very long time.
Yo, bro, what happened?
I was,
can't believe Eric was racist against Miku.
I can't believe that I was like trying to deny that I was like enjoyed like weeb style culture.
That's,
you like Krabby Patties, don't you, Squidward?
That's exactly what it was.
Oh, you can't. No, you can't listen to that much Miku. Why? What's going to happen? Am I going to explode? No, you're going to get dummy thick and then you'll explode. Oh, no. I think I like myself. I'm not sure, though. Hopefully, Has Been Hotel's cool when it comes out. More shows is always good, unless they're from, like, trash ass people, like bigots and predators.
Looking at you, Ren and Stimpy.
I'm not. I don't want to look at that.
I mean, I'm not looking at it,
unfortunately. I'm looking at it, unfortunately. I'm not enjoying looking at it.
Directing my mental gaze towards you, Ren and Stimpy.
And directing my physical gaze to our podcast link. Support us. We're the queerest show on the internet. Let's keep on talking about bad bosses and bad show directors. So people aren't jazzed with Ellen right now. More so than normally. Have you heard much of this story?
I mean, like, I've heard plenty of stories throughout the years of Ellen being, like, a really shitty, like, person to work with.
I thought all this stuff was coming out, like, several months ago on Twitter, but maybe, like, people got distracted by the pandemic?
Yeah.
Fair distraction, but I'm wondering, you know what? I think you're right. I think we just forgot, and then someone brought it back up or something, or...
We're like, hey, we were talking about this, like...
But yeah, so apparently she's a hard person to work for. There's, like, a lot of... You know what? I think it was that someone brought up that working on the set was racist, which, like, was not surprising, and I don't think there was really anything to follow up. But then they came back later and said that more things had happened, and, you know, there was more issues afoot and that kind of thing. I think, like, just more came out about the story. And
I'm not super familiar with the story of itself. I just know that, like, there have been countless accounts over the years of her being, like, very difficult to deal with from, like, a professional standpoint.
Yeah. And then, you know, she's, like, friends with George W. Bush and, like, didn't handle that situation very well. Publicly.
Yeah, and her, whatchamacallit, her press teams are all doing these, like, very, like, dumb, like, digital, like, face-saving campaigns
Jay Leno posted a tweet. Celebrities were like,
Ellen's never been rude to me, which is like the equivalent of, like, I don't know, like all of your guy friends being like, so and so has never sexually harassed me.
Yeah.
Like,
it's because like, it's exactly like, of course she's going to be nice to you. You're another famous person. Like, it's a business transaction at that point.
And like, best case scenario, it's like, you're already her friend. These are her employees. Yeah. Like, so you could be someone's best friend, like, well, they've never treated me rude. I'm like, well, why would they? I'm talking about how they treat other people. And, you know, and someone said, well, hey, what about James Corden to replace Ellen? And everyone's like, yo, that's just as bad. Like, that's probably, actually, that's worse. That's probably worse.
I think some of the takes I saw in that were like, oh, yeah, that's the perfect replacement. Replace one shitty person with another. Why not?
It's like, at least Ellen puts out a product that some people like, you know? It doesn't excuse her shittiness, but, like, James Corden puts out a product that people don't like and apparently is a shitty person.
Yeah, like, James Corden's a shitty person and not funny. That's a cart, like, that's the absolute sin.
Like, yeah, like we said at the head of the show, or maybe this was before the show, but, yeah, being in a bad mental space does not make you create better art. And being a shitty person doesn't make you a better artist, but if you're going to be a shitty person, you'll at least give us, like, the good art. We'd rather you just not be shitty, though, and give us the art, but hey, you know, it is what it is. There have been a lot of joke campaigns, but the reason I really wanted to bring this up was just so I can make the album art something. Someone said, hey, we should have Eric Andre replace Ellen. Don't change the show. Don't change the title. Literally, don't change anything about the show, except... Just replace Ellen with Eric Andre, have him ask the same kind of questions, and actually just pretend to be Ellen, but just have Eric replace Ellen, and that's it. And someone did, like, a mock-up, like, put, like, his face on, like, her face, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And it's just very funny, and, like, he retweeted, like, a petition. Like, yeah, I'll do it, because that's the kind of shit that Eric Andre thinks is funny. And it's funny to me, because why not? Let's have Eric Andre all the places.
I'm all for more Erics in good media.
More Erics in media. That's the representation we crave here.
More Erics. More queers too, but also more Erics. More queer Erics, please.
Make me Ellen.
Hey, cool, another transition, talking about queer people, and we're going to transition to good creators.
Good creators, I was going to say good queer people?
I don't know them personally, they could, but probably. So Lily Wachowski did an interview with somebody, and I'm going to say confirmed. But she talked about how The Matrix was intended to be a trans story. And, you know, fans have never been able to confirm this because they weren't out at the time, and we're not here to speculate about people's gender. That's between them and themselves. So, you know, we only knew them differently at the time, so it was a speculation. But she came out and said, no, that's what we were going for. That's why all this certain imagery is there. That's what this is all about. And fans of The Matrix, like actual fans of The Matrix, not people who are dicks and think The Matrix looks cool.
People who think that, like, Red Pill is, like, a cool thing to...
Yeah, we were all like, oh yeah, I've heard this before. Thanks for confirming the theory. I mean, if you would have said it was false, we would have had to believe you and just said that that was a fair reading. But yeah, it's a relatively trans story. And I think if you look at The Matrix and you actually watch it, all the things that I say claim, because I don't know, all the things that she said are in there. If you look at those things, like, oh, yep, those are totally there. I mean, it's kind of hard to deny. I think you can read it in other ways because that's what good media does. There's obviously 1,000 ways to read any piece of media. You could just read it as a straightforward, like, hey, Neo was a guy that was in a computer and came out of the computer and fought some robots. Like, that's not a false reading. But there's more to it than that.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's, like, I don't want to, like, go against my own, like, whatchamacall, my own insistence that, like, the author is quote-unquote dead. Like, I'm totally, like, I do like that, but, like, in this case where it's, like, a trans woman, like, basically saying something that will annoy a lot of, like, alt-right people, I'm like, yeah. Oh, no, the author's vision is the most important.
What's, well, you know, I say death of the author a lot, and I still believe, I mean, even in this case, I think it's relatively still viable, but when they're saying, like, oh, hey, here's what, like, taking someone's intent, it doesn't matter, like, in reading the story, but I think it matters, like, in a meta way, like, it matters to the world, mm-hmm. And it's not like she said, like, for instance, when she says, you know, Switch was intended to be one gender outside of the Matrix and another gender inside of the Matrix, ultimately that got canned, so she can tell us, like, that was intended, but that's not in the text. So when they say, they as in both sisters, they say that was supposed to be there, like, well, we can only say that was supposed to, like, that's not in the text, so if she's supposed to literally be, like, we can't, like, there's nothing that supports that in the text, which is not to say that it's false, it's just that, cool, I mean, I'm glad you intended that, but when she says stuff like, oh, hey, we chose the colors of the pills, like, because one of them was, like, the color of a hormone pill, it's like, well, that's supported by the text, so it's not like you just pulled that out of your ass and just, like, made Morpheus gay after the third book came out, I mean, the third movie came out, you know, like, it's... The touch that I liked was that they keep referring to Neo as Mr. Anderson, and, like, he puts the emphasis on Mr., and I'm like, I just thought that was a cool quirk of the way that the agents talked. I didn't consider that was even more like...
I just thought that was Hugo Weaving acting.
I thought that was just how Hugo Weaving talks.
Yeah, which maybe that's why they chose him to do it. But I don't know. I mean, I always thought it was an interesting reading when it wasn't confirmed, and I think it holds a lot of... held a lot of weight, and I liked it. Well, A, that someone was able to get an interview with the Wachowskis, because apparently they're pretty, like, they're notoriously reclusive. But also, like,
Can't blame them.
Yeah, can't imagine why.
I mean, even if you take the social stuff, like, out of it, which you can never, but even if it was just, like, two people that wrote The Matrix don't want fans bothering them, that'd be enough before you even take their genders into consideration, which people are probably shitty about. Like, I'd be pretty pissed off if, like, so, like, I, not to speak over a trans woman, but if I created something as a queer person and then a bunch of shitty people used it to be shitty, I'd be pretty upset. I mean, basically, Red Pills got Pepe the Frog.
Yeah.
But smart people were always like, that's not legit. Like, you can't do that. That doesn't make any sense. But yeah, Ian Miles Chong had a meltdown. So, that, I mean... That was worth it to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, and Netflix retweeted, like, a story about it, which is pretty rich from them, considering they canceled Sense8. But, you know, there was Emmy it's not like Sense8 was bad or anything. So, you know, more representation for our trans siblings, I always say. I don't always say that, that's but I should say it more. Say.
No, yeah. We
pretty rad.
Should be.
Do you two have any thoughts about that?
No, I think that, like, that really hits kind of my points, is, like, death of the author is still something that's important to me, but I think it's also important to take people's intentions to some extent into consideration.
Yeah. you know, if somebody had asked F. Scott Fitzgerald what the fuck the green light was supposed to be in The Great Gatsby, maybe our high school classes could have been a lot shorter.
Jesus.
But, you know, like, so, like, I think it does, there is some value in having them around, like, you know, coming back and discussing this kind of thing.
Yeah. That's, I would agree with that. And again, I think it's, especially if your intention is supported with the text, I feel like, hey, here's the metaphor we were going for with this thing that you can clearly see is there. It's like, okay, well, it's, the author may have died, but you have a pretty compelling point, random person who happens to also be the author. Which is also a pretty good way to put like queer narratives into your stories without having to like please people that are queer phobic, you know, like they wouldn't let Switch be the way that they were intended to be, but like the story is still very queer coded.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, I mean, that's legit. Like, you know, it's you can never make that story not queer. I don't know if they need to make the sequels, but hey, you know, that's different stories for different days. I would like to know what those were supposed to be narratives for, if there was like, oh fuck, we didn't plan on making a shit ton of money.
I think those narratives are supposed to be, oh man, CGI is hella cool, isn't it?
It was cool. Those movies may not hold up, but that shit was still fun to watch, I'm not gonna lie. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but this shit is fire. Which we should probably go back and watch Speed Racer again. Give them a chance.
Oh, Speed Racer was... Speed Racer was good when it came out.
The music was very good.
The music was so good, and I went and saw it multiple times in theaters, and I didn't even see... It was out at in theaters the same time as the first Iron Man movie, and I remember distinctly with my friends looking at what was showing that weekend, and we were like, do we want to see Iron Man or Speed Racer? And we were like, Iron Man looks a little grim. Let's see a Speed Racer.
I mean, you weren't wrong.
I didn't see Iron Man until it was on DVD, like, 6 months later.
I don't think I've still seen the first Iron Man. I think I've only seen Iron Man 2 and 3.
I can't believe that the MCU got that shit to work with Iron Man. Like...
That he was the one that managed to...
like kind of boot the series.
Yeah, like the Hulk was there and those movies were all right. Like people apparently like Ang Lee's Hulk, but like Iron Man was like a C-lister. Like who the fuck cared about Iron Man, you know? Like, and now I think having the is it Ozzy or Black Sabbath? Like, I mean, I know Ozzy's in Black Sabbath, but whoever made Iron Man song. That's a nice touch, and I feel like that did so much more for the advertising than we're willing to give credit for. Like, because without that, I don't know if the MCU takes off. I really don't.
But like to the Speed Racer point, like it's a really enjoyable movie. It has. Like, unfortunately, it turns out that Emile Hirsch, who plays Speed Racer, is a bad person. But he's very attractive. Has Christina Ricci in it. It has John Goodman in it. Has Rain, the Korean pop star, in it. We share a birthday. That's why I have some personal affection for Rain, the Korean pop star.
Is John Goodman the dad in Speed Racer?
John Goodman is the dad in Speed Racer.
That's a great role for John Goodman.
That is a very good role for him.
But yeah, and it's just like colorful and trippy, and we were so hype when we left. We like sped probably much faster than we ought to have driven. home, like yelling. We were speed racing home. We stopped at the I distinctly remember stopping at the McDonald's in town to get ice cream and because we were like so fired up. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, but we were like, we love this movie and we love sugar.
And their ice cream machine was working. Impressive.
And their ice cream machine was working. So, you know, we had to celebrate that victory.
I mean, I know it affected you and our other friend, because the Speed Racer theme song from that movie is still on our convention road trip playlist to this day.
To the point I still hear it at least once a year from you guys.
It's so good.
They shouldn't have gone so hard then.
Just like, you know, the most recent Tron movie might not have been fantastic, but the soundtrack sure as shit was.
Like you hired Daft Punk, you're like, well, we're gonna get some good jams out of this no matter what the movie does.
Yeah.
Oh jeez. Anyway, other movie news. Mulan is coming out.
Disney finally bought it.
Yeah, theaters around the world. because other countries decided, hey, if we stay in the house for 2 months, we won't have to do it for 8. What a thought. And to Disney Plus and streaming. But if you want to watch on Disney Plus, it's going to cost you $30. You get to keep it as long as you have your Disney Plus subscription, which is like, feels
sketchy. That's pretty fucked up. Like, you are purchasing purchasing this movie, but you only get to watch it if you continue to pay us.
Yeah, like, for the price of a DVD, like, you're not paying... Like, you already pay us to have this service. Yes. Here's another thing you have to pay for, and if you ever cancel this service, you have no more Mulan. Fuck you.
And I'm wondering, like, because I don't see them not putting it on Disney Plus. So is it basically like saying, hey, you get to keep it until it just becomes part of Disney Plus? But that doesn't sound like you're getting as much, but like that's much better than you get to keep it unless you like stop your subscription. It's like, well, what about people who wait a year? Are they going to get to watch it? Because it sounds like I'll still get to watch it. But yeah, you're not actually buying it. You're just getting an early stream, like basically. You're just renting it for $30.
Yeah.
Just a really long rental.
It's an eternal rental, but you also have to keep paying the Blockbuster to keep the movie.
It's a subscription based
movie. To be allowed into the Blockbuster.
To be allowed inside. It's like a Costco.
You have to keep giving us money so that you can continue to give us money. I don't know how they ever got away with that. I guess that's how they pay for the savings, but it doesn't feel good. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not excited enough about that movie to pay that much money.
No, yeah.
Like, they probably could have pulled this shit with Endgame, and I would have been upset about it, but I probably would have paid for it. But Mulan, like, I know how the story goes, and I can look up the historical version of it, too. So, like, I really don't need to give Disney $30 to watch this movie.
Yeah, I think the biggest, the bummerest kind of thing about it is, like, this is their first, like... I guess Aladdin was also POC-led. I was going to say it was one of their first, like, POC-led live-action remakes. And, like, don't want them to, like, use the excuse of, like, oh, well, it didn't do well, so you'll never see a live-action Princess and the Frog or something like that. Like,
yeah. I'm curious to see how it does in China. Because that's, like, their other big market, really. Like, I feel like it's America and China are their big markets. And I think it's going to do... If it doesn't do well in China, then I think it's just going to be like, oh, this movie wasn't going to do well.
Yeah.
Because America, like, people would probably see it for $10 in the theater. But, like, $30 is kind of steep. And it's not even, like, that's unreasonable for, like, going to a movie, like, $15 tickets or, like, taking a family. Like, taking your family of four to go see a movie for $30... pretty good deal, but like it doesn't feel good because that's not how we do things in this climate, you know?
Not to mention also that, like, if you are a single person, $30 to go watch a single like film is a pretty steep price.
So I don't know. I don't know if people are super hype about this Mulan movie either.
Like, people have been grumpy about it since they said that there wasn't going to be a Li Shang character in it.
Yeah, and like it's not going to be a musical, which like if they're trying to make it historically accurate, cool. But like, so like, why is Disney doing this?
Yeah,
like I don't.
Like the problem with the lead actress was, you know, supporting China through all of the Hong Kong protests, which is more of a discussion of like, well, she probably reasonably could not support Hong Kong, being a actress from whose family resides in mainland China.
Yeah, that gets like a whole dangerous tangle of worms.
So
I don't want to, you know, I don't know if we can hold that against her, but it's like a lot of stuff that's going on with like, man, this is really rough, and it's good that like Disney actually got like Chinese actors, and it seems like they're doing a lot of the actual like, not necessarily good business decisions, but like the right. It seems like they actually did the right thing, kind of for once.
Mm-hmm.
That's an uninterrogated viewpoint. Maybe they haven't been, but from the surface level of where I'm at, like, oh, you guys actually did like some good stuff for once. Like, congratulations! And it's like they're probably going to make their money back, and they're going to take the wrong lessons from it, which is too bad. Speaking of bad lessons, this isn't on the list. This reminded me of something. Bad lessons from movies reminded me of, like, Deadpool and Logan were rated R, so people thought that your movie had to be rated R to be good, but, like, they took the wrong lesson from it, so they just made them bloody instead of, like, deep and more mature. Mm-hmm. And it made me think about, like, Zack Snyder and, like, Justice League and stuff like that. And I started seeing takes online that, like, from, like, women that Sucker Punch is a feminist movie, and I'm like, I've never heard that before, and I'm not going to sit here and say that women are wrong about that, but I've never heard the take that Sucker Punch is good, actually. So, like, not to put you on the spot, I know you don't speak for all women, Steph, but, like...
But please do right now.
Have you heard that take before? Like, could you see that being true? Have you seen Sucker Punch?
I have seen Sucker Punch. I watched it with a mutual friend of ours when we lived together, and she was very excited about it because she really liked it. And I was like, when we finished it, I was like, sitting there, I was like, I have to admit that, well, the costumes were cool. I found most of that troubling.
And, like, if you look at, like, the narrative of it, of, like, man, men are shitty and women need to, like, escape the oppression from them, like, being resourceful and, like, ridding themselves of their oppressors, like, on paper that sounds good, but I don't know if that's what was actually executed.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm pretty sure it ends with, like, Baby Doll getting a lobotomy, so, like, she didn't free herself.
I mean, this is, like, a dumb thing to say, but, like, I have a very strong lobotomy squick. Like, I do not...
I mean, that's fair.
Very unsettling to me, like, as far as horror things go.
Okay. It was one of those things where I'm like, I could see this reading being true, but I don't know if it is true. And, because someone was talking about how they don't want to see Zack Snyder's Justice League, because someone's like, I think he'll handle the women correctly in this and actually make them not prop characters. And someone's like, oh yeah, like the guy that led the guy that made Sucker Punch is going to handle women correctly. And then, like, cause like the weird stuff in Justice League, like how Wonder Woman was like this nice, strong, statuesque character in Wonder Woman, but like, and then the Justice League trailer, like, uh-oh, we got to get like some shots up her skirt, like we get a slow-mo like on her leg sweep. Was that more Joss Whedon than Zack Snyder? Like is Zack Snyder not shitty? And we just think it, like, I don't actually know.
I don't know, honestly.
No thoughts, no opinion.
Head empty.
Yeah. I mean, like, if there's a feminist reading of Sucker Punch out there, please let me know, listeners.
I mean, I think there probably is. I mean, I think there is something to say about trauma and, like, escapism and, like seeking refuge from your, like, the things that cause you trauma, but I just don't think it was an effectively presented message.
Okay. And then I guess the other question to be asked about that is, like, did Zack Snyder do all those things on purpose? Or did he, like, I want to, like, mash my female action figures together and fight monsters and stuff and try to act deep and then actually was? I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed it, but, like, I didn't have as much of a lens of looking at things before. And, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, I could see how this didn't really fuck with people. Who knows? Two more topics. I guess we keep on talking about, like, visual, like, movies and shows, media. Tell us some stuff, Steph.
Yeah, so I, let's see, I watched The Old Guard today. Speaking of action movies starring ladies. And it was really enjoyable. It was, so it's a movie that just came out on Netflix, about 2 hours, not a huge time commitment. About apparently I found out at the end of it when the credits were rolling that it was based on a comic book by Greg Rucka, who wrote the best Batwoman story ever, so like I should have known, kind of thing. Like that it would be good, but so it's about a group of like immortal warriors who have been like just kind of like staying under the radar and like doing good deeds over the millennia, and like gathering, like whenever they find a new one of them, they've kind of like pulled them into their group. And but then Dudley Dursley from the Harry Potter movies,
specifically him has
become a tech bro, a big pharma tech bro, which is the worst kind, and wants to wants to capture these immortal people and do, like, experiments on them to, like, end disease, but in, like, a gross, like, experimentation, like, non-consensual, like, you're my property now way.
Ugh. Terrible.
And, so it has Charlize Theron in it as the leader of the warrior squad, and,
also, it's, like, gay.
Yeah, and then
is that her niche, like, being in movies that people think are cool, and then it's like, oh, turns out these are based on comic books? Like, wasn't she Atomic Blonde?
Yeah, she was.
Cool actress. I like her shit.
Yeah, I like her. I like the roles she's been playing. There was like a thing going around. She actually responded to it on Twitter. It was like, yeah, that, like, this vibes with me kind of thing, but like that, like, she, like, spent a long time, like, doing all these, like, kind of, like, prestige roles and, like, fancier roles, and now she's just, like, become, like, an action heroine that, like, with a bunch of other, like, old for Hollywood, like, older women, like, action heroine, just, like, kind of beating shit up, and, like, she does all her own stunts, which is insane.
That's very impressive.
Like, especially seeing, some of the stuff she did in this movie. But so they pick up the newest immortal, who's, like, I don't know who the actress is, but, is, like, a black girl from the Marines, and, like, kind of pull her, and, like, she gets kind of pulled into the whole thing, but, like, at the end, like, she comes back and, like, saves them, and it's really just... It really is a satisfying action movie. And I thought everyone on my timeline was talking about it because, like, queer people like to watch Charlize Theron beat people up. one of my friends...
Like, gay.
Yeah, one of my friends was like, I was like, hey, have you seen The Old Guard yet? Because he, like, he's really, like, has, like, a lot of opinions about fight choreography, and I was interested to hear what he thought about how it looked that way. And he was like, yes, I've watched it. I'm a woman now so that I can be gay for Shirley Stone. And I was like, I respect that. But yeah, it's there are gays in it. Like, they're, like, the Band of Immortals before Nile, the new girl, joins them is four people. It's Charlize Theron's character Andy, and then a guy who died, or a guy from 1812 who fought for Napoleon, and then two guys who met, they were on opposite sides of a crusade in the 1100s, and it's, like, truly the best enemies to lovers story, because, like, they were just trying, they kept killing each other, but they kept coming back to life, and eventually they, like, were like, oh, like, I guess we're in love. And there's just, like, a really powerful scene where, like, the two of them get captured, and one of the soldiers who captured them is like, is this your boyfriend? And, like, the guy gives this, like, monologue that's like boyfriend isn't like a baby word for what he is to me, like, it's really passionate, okay. Like, it's like you're a baby child, like, stupid baby child, and, like, this man means more to me than, like, your dumb brain can
you're
comprehend.
A stupid baby child.
It's much more eloquent in the movie. But I was like, oh, there, like, I love this.
Very nice. Yeah, I saw a couple reviews on it. I'm like, I don't know if I trust these reviews. So, like, I'm like, I'm sure this is actually pretty good. They were, like, medium reviews.
Yeah,
but I'm not a big movie person anyway.
Like, and, like, for the first, like, half of the movie, I was like, oh, like, this is fine, like, this, like, I'm gonna continue watching this because, like, I have a type and like, gonna commit to it, but yeah, the ending, the back half of it, very satisfying,
very nice. Yeah, you know, sometimes due to outside pressure, you know, sometimes you feel like your queer card's going to be revoked. Like, yeah, am I actually bi? Or do I just think that, like, do I think, like, a couple dudes are handsome? And that's, like, still bi, but not, like, as hardcore into it as I would say I am, you know? And, mm-hmm. you know, you never need to justify your sexuality to anybody. That's just, you know, the world's biphobia gets to me sometimes. But then I watched Umbrella Academy season 2 with my partner, and I'm like, nah, it's I am.
Like, oh, you're bi.
there's some hot dudes in that show, and also some hot ladies, but like I was already aware that I liked lots of hot ladies. Like, I have a hard time, like, I don't know what my type is with dudes, and I guess that doesn't need to be a thing, but I'm like, man, that Diego dude's pretty good looking, and I don't know. It's like the same thing that, like, David Diggs has. Like, the same kind of, like style. I'm like, it's people with better beards than me and long, shaggy hair. Like, cool.
Fair enough.
I'm a bit of a jealous lover, I guess. I'm not jealous when in my love, but I love things that I'm jealous of.
That rhymed. Well done.
Ooh, look at me go. That's the pumpkin talking.
Drop the beat.
Apparently there's 43 sparrows in season 2 of Umbrella Academy that are just hidden within the show, like images or something. It's like, now I gotta rewatch it. Darn it.
Gotta see all the it looks like the hidden Mickeys of the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, yeah. They came out and told us that. I'm like, oh, I wish... Like, I'm glad they didn't say that before, because I'd have been looking. I didn't even plan on watching it. Like, I'm not
paying attention to the...
Yeah.
For the show itself, kind of.
And last thing, to follow up on a story, hot news alert, yeah. Hot news alert.
So we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I forgot, I, like, kept checking the bestseller list, because I was confused as why it hadn't, like, shown up yet, because the book came out a while ago now. But then I remembered, when I finally saw it on there, that the manga and graphic novel New York Times list updates monthly as opposed to weekly like everything else does. So the Adventures on Pedals of the Metal graphic novel did in fact hit the New York Times bestseller list at the top of the list, but I was surprised that it I was not surprised that it ended up getting kind of, like, ghettoized over to the graphic novelist now that there's a graphic novelist again, because I don't think they do repeats across, like within the children's section, like, there's a young adult bestseller list, and then there's, like, a children's series list, so, like, if the second book in a series hits the bestseller list, like, the single book won't show up on the young adult list. The series will show up on the series list. So they don't do crossover things, but still I'm excited to see it there. I had like a weird, like, my prurient curiosity, using, quote unquote, abusing my ability to check up sales numbers for books, I did look and see how many copies it had sold since it came out less than a month ago, and it sold almost 29,000 copies already.
It's impressive,
which is bonkers. Yeah. I don't think there's like 3 books that I've worked on in my like 3.5 years in publishing that have sold that many book copies in their lifetime, let alone in the first week on the or the first month on sale. Like,
the McElroys are popular.
It's almost like the McElroys have some fans.
They have a few, I heard.
But
that's cool.
Yeah, and then you have one more thing you just added.
Yeah, I just thought about it. So I was just scrolling the internet a couple days ago. I don't know what day. Time has lost meaning. But there was a charity track from My Hero Academia. It was a rendition of You Say Run. They did it for charity for UNICEF. And the person I saw, like, that was really struck my fancy was Jules Conroy, I think is his name, but his screen name is Family Jules. I think he's moving away from that, but, you know, that's how I know him. Because he did music. He did the original metal soundtrack for Crypt of the Necrodancer, which I think would be Aria's music, because it's hard as shit, just like metal. So I had to put it on other characters to hear it because I can't fuck with Arya. It's too difficult. and also, he was like one of the, like, the main people that did music for Cadence of Hyrule. So, you know, props to him. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're doing this track. It has a bunch of people just come, like, watch this charity track, and we'll be, like, talking to some creators. And I didn't know the scale of this, but they had, like, over 80 performers / musicians involved in it. I came in a little late, so I missed, like, the first 30 seconds. But they kind of do, like, a piano singing cover of, like, You Say Run, like, the music that, if you saw the big All Might fight from the end of season one, or any of the music time, like, time... anytime that, like, stuff gets hype in that show. So they had, like, a lot of the voice actors, and a lot of them can sing, like, Uraraka's voice actor, the voice actor for Mirko, the bunny lady. And they would give, like, the singers, like, a fake quirk, like, oh, this person is, like, super composer, or stuff like that. And they had, like, different people coming in. It was really cool, like, a lot of the cast was there, and a lot of people who, like, worked on the show behind the scenes, and then Chris Sabat was there.
Did, like, a big, cool... All Might monologue in the middle of it.
Yeah, well, it was fun because he just, like, sang in the first one. I'm like, oh, this dude could sing, and his quirk at that point was just, like, One for All, which was cool. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I get it, because he's All Might. And then, like, a little graphic goes, and, like, the composer, I guess, from MHA was there, and his kids were, like, just dancing in the background, like, while he's playing piano. And then, like, the drop happens, and then Chris Sabat comes back with, like, I'm here, and he's doing his All Might voice. And his quirk was, I voiced your childhood. And it's like Vegeta, Piccolo, some other dudes. All my, like, he voiced so many anime characters. And he's, like, getting people hype. And he, like, says plus ultra. And then it's just, then the jams just start coming. Patrick Bartley, I think, from J Music Ensemble. He does a lot of Persona covers and other jazzy covers. I think I've linked before. Apparently, he was, like, Grammy nominated, too. Didn't know that. That's pretty hype. He starts just jamming out on the sax. And it just... starts going with different people, like big band kind of music, and then the guitar solo. Then a rap happens, which was a big secret. No one knew about that. Megaran was there, and two other guys. I'm like, this is so hype. I'm living. This is so great. The chat was going wild on Twitch. And then, like, a drum fill happens, like a drum solo. Then the guitars start, and I'm like, oh, cool. What's going to happen now? Just some guy playing, like, yeah, yeah, cool. Then Jules comes in. I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm here. Like, they flashed the words on the name on screen, kind of like the first season's opening, and then they play. And then I see Jun Sunui. I'm like, wait, the dude from Crush 40, like, that made the Sonic rock? And it's like, yeah, he's there jamming, too. I'm like, hell yeah, this is so dope. This is everything I ever wanted. And, like, a bunch of other guitar guys come in, and the big drum solo, and lots of strings and stuff. I'm like, this is the hypest shit of all time. And it made me happy. and I wanted to share it with as many people as I could. But also, it's... you know, they're raising money for charity, and that's a good thing to do. So, you know, go check it out. It's on Caleb Hiles, his YouTube channel. And I guess he's known for doing, like, voicing and doing music in Ruby. So, like, okay, cool. I wasn't in that fandom, but props to them. And, yeah, go check it out. It's like a 9-minute long video, but it's like a 7-minute song. It's very good. There's two major parts to it. Go check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely, like, and also, like, I've made it clear that I am not a, like, a long video watching person, but I started it, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool, and, like, finally over, I was like, oh, shit, that was a 9-minute video. Like,
nine-minute video is amateur for those of us who like long form.
Oh, yeah, I'm a long-form guy. Like, again, I watched a 2.5-hour long video about why Ruby was disappointing, and I've never seen an episode of Ruby in my entire life, nor did I know any of the characters.
I regularly watch 2-plus-hour-long Vocaloid concerts.
Oh, yeah.
On YouTube.
I watch lots of long stuff on YouTube, so, like, when I see 9 minutes, I'm like, this is baby numbers. I'm not even going to be able to, like, get through, like, taking a shower to this video. Like, I need to, like, so I listen to music and videos when I'm in the shower too, so, like, I need something that's at least 15 minutes or, like, lots of back-to-backs.
The longest ass showers
he does
do I even take that long of showers, like, around you guys though, like, at cons?
Yes.
And stuff, like, I feel like they're,
100%,
like, yes. I feel like they're like 15 minutes. It's not a long shower, it's like a regular ass shower.
That's
they are
the
not
longest
15
shower
minutes
that I take.
They are also not 15 minutes.
Okay, well, I may have to go to the bathroom and stuff and then dry off, you know? I don't know. But I've been working on shortening my showers, but I can't do anything about it when I wash my hair, because my hair is very thick and coarse.
Yeah.
But that's not every time. That's different.
That's like, I mean, my showers take 20 minutes when I decide that I'm going to shave any part of my person.
Yeah, I don't have to shave my legs or anything, so, you know, it's... I have to shave my face, but that's an electric razor type of deal. It's a whole different situation. There's no shower involved. It's just like, ugh, I'm going to have to clean out the sink.
Yeah. Of course. There was also another concert this weekend that...
Whomst?
It was... So they did the first in a series of what they're calling Hatsune Miku Live Untitled, and it was Untitled Zero is what they called it. And I did not get to see it because I forgot it was happening. And
tisk.
Well, okay, they didn't advertise this one pretty much at all. Like, all of the other ones, they've at least been like, oh, this will be this date. This one I only knew about because the bassist posted a, like, post, like, after-concert picture, like, this was so much fun. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it was. Would have loved to watch it.
Like, that's going to be a secret show. Like, we should do secret shows. All our shows are secret shows.
Yeah. But like, it had, like, a bunch of the, like, more, like, prominent musicians from the scene where it was, like, the Decorator band, which it's like that's one of the main producers, and I was like, oh, like that's pretty cool. And it still had like hologram stuff going on with it, and I'm like, well, fuck, like how come we didn't get to know about that? And yeah, I don't know, hopefully I get to catch it on YouTube, but it was something that they charged for, so I don't know.
Meh.
You've never paid money for anything related to Miku, so that would be weird if you did that.
Yeah, never at all.
Oh, here's one last piece of weird news.
We've gone so long.
Now we're going to have to tell us real fast.
There's now a small Battlefield on Smash Bros. To go with Battlefield, Big Battlefield. Now there's a small Battlefield.
I saw that.
And now you can listen to music from any Smash Bros. Like, it's not just the Smash Bros. Bass track. It's going to be any track that's in the game you can listen to on the Battlefields and the Smash Bros. So now you can do Final Destination with Megalovania. Steph, do you want to tell the people about the social media biz?
Yeah. So if you want to, if after all of this, you still want to hear more from us, you can find us. Yeah. Bless your heart. You can find us on the internet. You can find our podcast at Character Rev on Twitter, Character Reveal on Facebook, Character Reveal on Instagram, where we post clips from the show so you can get a sense of what we are up to in a given week. You can find us, you know, just like in the podcast catcher of your choice, by looking for Character Reveal. You see the blue curtains, you'll know the whole deal. Hey, that rhymed too. We're poets. You can listen to us in your browser at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find Eric on the internet at TindyLosi on Twitter. You can find Dom on the internet at Brother Dom, anywhere he wants to be found. And you can find me at Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr, and Hella Steph on Instagram. I think that's all of it.
Hey, you know what? That's all of it. We did our best. Save the post office. But yeah, listeners, thanks so much for hanging out with us for another episode. Thank you for the people who joined in the chat. We greatly appreciate it. We're going to bring another episode to you all next week, probably roughly around the same time. I'm going to keep streaming. Look out for the we'll have interviews, Character Reveal proppers out. One's coming out 2 days ago. What time you hear this?
One's same coming out time, in the past
same
future.
Same place.
There should be another one next week, though. We're trying to get back on that saddle. But again, thank you for rocking with us. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.